This morning I'd like to welcome the ESA division to be with us because we're one really big church family, and we're going to see something special that they know about already, but you don't know about it. So they've got advanced secret information. But we'll see where that leads. As I let you know, this is a little hard for me. I'm out of my comfort zone. Every week, I type my sermons out word for word. Now, of course, you know, I don't sit there reading word for word, but that's how I like to be prepared. And now, after writing a sermon in a very intense week, I thought, this isn't going to work. It's just not going to work this week. Now, what do I do? And I believe it's something, God told me to do something very simple, but something that perhaps will be comforting to our congregation today. So at least you know one thing. I'm not going to sing because it's comforting, okay? Not disturbing. All right. I'd like to begin by quoting part of a verse that is very well known to us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will stress you out." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful verse? What does the verse really say? Come unto me and I will give you what? Rest for your souls. But it's funny, a lot of people think coming to Jesus means my life is over. Oh no, it's stress. The last thing I would want is to come to Jesus because He'd have me doing all kinds of things that wouldn't fit, that wouldn't be relevant, that wouldn't be me. It would be stress. But no, Jesus doesn't lie. When He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest, He means it. There really is rest with Jesus. And there's rest in all kinds of circumstances. There's rest from worry. There's rest from fear. There's rest from sin. Because that's the greatest burden that we have to carry. Come unto me and I will give you rest. One of the greatest burdens that we carry is the burden of sorrow and grief. I'm not really going to talk about sin today. I'm going to talk about the burden of sorrow and grief because that's where my heart is at today. That's where I think many of us are at. Certainly that's where Koji and his family and friends and relatives are at. We're grieving, aren't we? We feel bad for him. We feel what a loss at the prime of someone's life like that. Well, how do we deal with that? Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. So Lord, my child, think of your own child. Many of you have little kids, teenage kids, young adults, college, high school kids, and at the prime of their life, just like that, no warning, they're gone. That is a worse, I'm just going to say it, nightmare. I know we're Christians and we have faith and but for me, that would be a living nightmare. One thing that comforts me though, if someone were to tell me, someone would say, John, would you have faith and joy and peace if your daughter died or if your son died? I'd say, do you believe you'd have it? And I'd say, if you meant, do I have it right now? No. Because God hasn't called me to go through it right now. But if you mean, would God give it if I needed it and when I needed it? Well, then I would have it then. Many of us fear. We have fears and we say, I could never go through. You know, I'm looking at Koji Masumi right now and I'm going, I could never go through that. I'm being honest with you. I could never go through it. But you know what? Before this happened to them, they would have said they could never go through that too. They could never go through it. But they are. And God is giving them strength and God is giving them peace. Someone says, I could never go through a divorce. It would be the worst thing. And it is. My spouse committed adultery, if this or that. And it would be. But yet God, those who look to Him, the Bible says, are never ashamed. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christianity is not a game. It's not even a religion. It's not even a philosophy. It's not one of many options to say, well, I'm going to order my life this way and look at life this way. No, Christianity is the one true living God of the universe saying, I will be with you no matter what you face in a very real way, and I will strengthen you. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. I am your God. Christianity is the Jesus who interrupted every funeral he ever attended. Christianity is following Christ, who healed the crippled, who made the blind to see, who gave hope to the hopeless. Christianity is not just a philosophy. It's not a code of conduct. It's coming in contact with the power of the true and living God. Very real. When I was about, I don't know, I'm going to be vulnerable with you, but I was about 16 years old. 16, I was driving. And I had a wonderful grandfather who was like a dad to me. And I used to spend weekends at his house. I called him Papa. And he didn't have great health, but he wasn't dying or anything. He just wasn't in the greatest health. He had had heart surgery, but one night, the clearest impression came. I was not a Christian, but the clearest impression came, Papa is going to die tonight. And I said, if Papa dies tonight, I'm just not ready for that. I couldn't take it. Papa dying tonight? But he's not sick. Why would he die tonight? But I felt impressed to go, and I told my grandfather, Papa, I'm so sorry, but I'd like to go home. And he said, go home? Why? I said, I don't know. I just feel like I need to go home. I couldn't tell him why. He said, okay. And I hugged him and I kissed him. Early the next morning, I got a phone call. John, your grandfather died early this morning. I cried and cried and cried as those who have no hope. I thought that was it, that was final. God, I believe, knew, because I was not a Christian, that I just wouldn't have handled it then, because my Papa was everything to me, and being there right when he died was too much, so God was merciful to me. But now it's different. I cry, but I have hope through my tears. I have hope. Koji's crying. Masumi and Crystal are crying. But they have hope through their tears, that it's not the end. This last week, Thursday, there was a beautiful memorial service at Pacific Union College. You should have heard the students share how their friends, Luke and the three other boys that were also killed, had an influence on them and others. Luke's friend, Justin, gave a powerful testimony about Luke's love for God, His humor, his life, it was fantastic. But it shows that God has a purpose and meaning, and I want to share something with you today. We don't know how long, how many of you are under 20 years old? Raise your hand. Under 20. Over 50. Oh, really? Really? I caught you. I never knew that. You always told me 35, but I caught a bunch of you. You bunch of liars? No, I'm just kidding. Anyone over 80 who's proud of it? See, once you get over 80, you become proud of your age. That's a different dynamic there. Over 90? Anyone over 90 here today? I know we have some. Okay, in our extended family. All right. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know if it's going to be 5 years or 100. But you know what one person said? You are immortal until your life work is finished. You know, I don't care what Satan throws at you. I don't care what he tries to do. Satan cannot snuff your life out until your life work is finished. Could Luke have gone on to do great things? Of course he can. Why did he die? I don't even want to go there. We'll ask God in heaven all these things. The greatest question now is not why. We'll go crazy asking why. And even if God told us why, we may not like it. Or we may not agree with Him. Or it may not make sense. The greatest question is not why, but how. How, God, can I trust in You? How can I glorify You through this? What did Jesus say when Lazarus' sisters came running to Him? Lord, the one You love is sick. Jesus said, you remember what He said? The sickness is not unto death, but for the what? The glory of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, it looks like to you like he's going to die. And in fact, he did die, but he said the sickness is not unto death. It looks so final with Luke right now. And we are going to miss him because we cannot interact with him until Jesus comes again at the resurrection. But Jesus says, somehow, this can be for the glory of God. Amen? It can be for the glory of God. My wife became an Adventist Christian in large part because someone she knew at Pacific Union College while she was a student died. When she saw the family get up and testify of their forgiveness and their love for God, it melted her heart. And she said, I want to follow that same God. I want to follow. Don't you think that Luke's death is going to be wasted for a moment? There's an eternal purpose. Now, I wanted to share something very quickly before our special feature. Something very special from The Desire of Ages, one of the most comforting books. Don't worry, I won't read long. But it speaks about how God can come to us and comfort us in our time of need. How personal is God? How personally does He come and address us individually when we are in pain? Listen to this. Jesus knows us individually. You know that? When you're going through something, you're not just among a vast sea of Christians in the world. Jesus knows exactly what you as an individual are going through. And He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. When you say, no one understands, no one could possibly know what I'm suffering right now, Jesus does. He really does. He knows the very house in which we live, so you better clean that kitchen up, ladies. He knows the name of each occupant. He at times has given directions to His servants to go to a certain street in a certain city to such a house to find one of His sheep. Listen to this. Every soul is as fully known to Jesus as if He were the only one for whom the Savior died. The distress of everyone reaches His heart. How individual is God? How personally does He speak to us? How much does He care for each and every one? Just this week, I'm working on my sermon. God said, John, stop. Stop. Okay? I'm listening, Lord. What is it? John, someone you know is being attacked right this very moment. You need to pray. What kind of attack, Lord? Is it physical? Is it what? They are being attacked verbally. Verbally. They're being assaulted verbally. It was so clear. They're being verbally assaulted and they could become very wounded. Pray for them. Pray for their calm. Pray for their calm and that those people attacking will settle down and leave. I stopped and I said, Lord, Your child, Your servant, I believe You're telling me as being verbally attacked. I believe this is from You. Please, calm those attackers down and most of all, give the person attacked peace and calm and not to strike back, but to trust in You and not be wounded. Later that day, this person connected with me and said, I was verbally attacked today for the first time in my life. They said, verbally attacked, never had happened before, but God gave me this tremendous calm when I was tempted. It happened exactly this way at the exact time God told me to pray for them. God speaks to us personally. God knows what each of us individually go through, and He's there to help us through. Listen to this. Though now He has ascended to the presence of God and shares the throne of the universe, Jesus has lost none of His compassionate nature. Today, the same sympathizing heart is open to all the woes of humanity, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. And I want to close with this. I memorized this once, but as I've lost my hair, I've lost my memory. So I've got to look down at it. Sorry. Listen to this. The soul that has given himself to Christ is more precious in his sight than the whole world. The Savior would have passed the agony of Calvary that one might be saved in his kingdom. He will never abandon one for whom he has died. Here's what I memorized. Through all our trials, we have a never-failing helper. You know what? I read by a nightlight. Do you know those batteries are always going dead? Do you know my body is always failing me? My wife's had a sprained ankle for weeks. All kind of things go out in our bodies, our cars, our houses, this world. But we have a never-failing helper. His batteries never, he never tires. Christ never goes, you know what? Haven't I answered enough prayers for you already? Christ never says that. Christ never says, wait a minute, I've looked at the storehouse here and we don't have any more miracles. I'm so sorry. The economy's bad, so we're on back order. Is God ever going to say that? Is God ever said, oh no, I don't have any more loaves to give to the multitudes. Oh no, I'm out of fish. When the storm came up with Jesus in the boat, did Jesus say, oh no, there's a big storm and I don't know what to do? You will never catch God off guard. He will never lack supplies to give you, whether it be faith, whether it be strength, whether it be healing. Whatever it is, God will strengthen you. In closing, through all our trials, we have a never-failing helper. He does not leave us alone to struggle. Though now he is hidden from mortal sight, the ear of faith can hear his voice saying, fear not, I am with you. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I have endured your sorrows, encountered your temptations, experienced your struggles. I know your tears. I also have wept. The griefs that lie too deep to be breathed into any human ear, I know. Think not that you are desolate and forsaken, though your pain touch no responsive chord in any heart on earth. Look unto me and live. And the last verse, listen to this. The mountains may depart. Do you know it? The mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Is God a never-failing helper in time of need? Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know? Does he help us individually? Hallelujah. Look what he did for that person this week. Look what he did. Does God come to us in our times of need? Absolutely. And now I told you that there would be a special feature. I want to play for you on the television screen a testimony from our dear Pastor Kochi to show you that God can give strength to the meek, to the humble, to those who sorrow. These are some of the most beautiful words I've ever heard in my life. I couldn't help but cry repeatedly as I thought of how much God is strengthening Koji, Masumi, and Crystal. Let's turn our eyes and attention to the TV screen, to the projector screen.
Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be them. He will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new.
Well, Luke gave me this opportunity to speak from this pulpit. I just heard that a long time ago, Ellen White spoke from this pulpit. Thank you, Luke. But I don't wear pink. Young people, I can relate to you very well. I can understand how you feel. Sad, empty, pain, or hungry, and more. I know those because when I was a senior in my college in Japan, I lost my roommate. We were classmates for 7 years since high school and ready to graduate in a few months. Then he died suddenly of a heart disease that nobody knew he had. So I understand you very well. My senior class took a 4-hour train ride from Tokyo to attend my roommate's funeral service. After the Buddhist-style service, his father stood to talk to us. He looked smaller and older than usual. Now I can understand his dad. I can relate to him. Losing a 22-year-old boy, son, who was ready to graduate college in a few months. He said this, young people, do not die before your parents die. I want to say the same thing to you this morning. Young people, please, don't die before your parents die. When I was 27 years old, I became a Christian. And I came to California to study the Bible more. I attended Weimar College. At that time, Weimar College was having the greatest time, golden age. I entered from a summer quarter, and near the end of the summer quarter, a young man stabbed my classmate, who was a 19-year-old girl. He survived, she survived miraculously. But for 3 days, she was in a critical condition. And no one knew if she was going to survive. Her parents flew from Canada. Her dad was a pastor. Now I can relate to him. I can understand him. He stood in front of us in the Weimar chapel that evening, and he said, young people, you don't know how much your parents love you. So I want to tell you the same thing. Young people, we love you so much. We love you so much. No matter what happens in the world, we love you so much. But you will never understand mother's cry for her child. You will never know how much your parents love you until you have your own child. Someday, you will find a person, get married, someday, study now. Okay? But someday you will find, yeah, sure. And you will have a baby. What a wonderful experience you will have. One day when you visit PUC, look at the curve of the Deer Park Road. Remember those fine young Christian boys, fellows, and tell your precious child, you don't know how much I love you. Then you will understand me. Luke's mother, all those parents. 10 days before the accident, Luke called me on my cell phone. He asked me a question saying, Dad, if you were asked why people suffer, why God allows tragedies to happen, how would you answer? How would you react? He says some friends in his Bible study group were asking that kind of questions. So we talked on the phone about the book of Job, of course. Now, somewhat I can relate to Job. Only just a little bit, but I can understand him. But at that time I told Luke, there are two ways to react. If the person who is asking that question to you is in the midst of a tragedy, midst of suffering and pain, shut your mouth. Be quiet. Don't say anything, but listen to him. If he cries, you cry together with him. But don't say a word, because that person has to talk to his God directly, not to you, not to any human beings, but to his own God. God is hoping and giving that privilege to talk to God, to that person. Don't think you have to have an answer, and don't think that you have an answer. But if the person who is asking that kind of question to you is not in any tragedy, but just wants to know the answer, then tell him this way. As long as you live on this earth, sorry, but you may face pain. You may lose your loved one. You may have a tsunami or a hurricane. You may lose your money. You may lose your friendship. You may experience divorce. Or you may face a car accident. But remember, Jesus is with you in the midst of your sufferings. He sits with you, listens to you, and holds you. When you cry, he cries with you. He understands your pain because he himself has experienced the suffering and pain. He has experienced betrayals. That's a pain. People have hit him, whipped him, and spit on him. But he prayed for his enemies. This is the answer the Bible is telling us. That Jesus is with you always, young people. And he says to you, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, Luke never had that trouble. And we have trouble now. But we know our Lord Jesus is with us always. I know my Savior lives. I know my Redeemer lives. No matter what the world says, I will see my Lord Jesus Christ face to face with my naked eyes. At that time, I was meet again those four fine young men. I will have my son, Luke, and he will show me his smile with big dimples. All those four guys knew their Savior Jesus. How about you? Jesus, not only your personal Savior, but also your best friend and the greatest counselor. Thank you very much for being good friends to our sons. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love to them. And you know they love you. Luke said, I live an enchanted life. Come join me. Oh, they lived the greatest life of their lives at PUC on a beautiful campus. Oh, so beautiful you have here. With wonderful friends and faculty. Thank you very much. We will be praising and worshiping our God together with those four boys someday. But until that day, may God continue to bless you, your families, and your lives. Thank you very much. So many people came from long distance, like from Japan, I believe, perhaps from Korea, from Hawaii, from Southern California, all over here. Thank you very much for coming. And drive safely.
I just want to remind you that Kochi will be back in another week or so. He may cut it short. He may extend it a little longer. According to the family needs, and we'll give them all the time they need. So let's just keep praying. Again, there's an opportunity to write Crystal. If you don't have any paper, we left paper in the foyer, and you could write her a note, and we'll send them out, those notes out. Most of all, let's keep them in prayer. But let's rejoice as well. Satan can never touch Luke ever again. He is safe, and he is saved by the blood of Christ. And there will be a great reunion. And is not Koji's testimony proof how much God cares for us individually and how much he can strengthen us in our sorrows? Yes, he really does. Does Jesus care? He truly does. Our closing song this morning, and I think it's fit to sing because he does care, is for, I don't remember the number, is it 181? Does Jesus care? Yes, he truly does. Father, thank you. We have living proof that you not only raise the dead, you not only heal cripples, but you raise the hopes of the hopeless. And the weaker we know ourselves to be, the stronger we become in your strength. It never fails, Father. You always, always help us just when we need you most, no matter how badly we need you. And Koji, Masumi, and Crystal are proof of that today. Father, help us every day press close to you and allow you to speak to us so we'll always know that your comfort is there and you're always near. Have faith in God, dear friends. Jesus is here. Amen.